Welcome to 3GT, the podcast where three guys, a pastor, a parishioner, and a professor, theologize about life's issues from a Reformed perspective without losing their sense of humor. So one of the things that I have had the opportunity to do at the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary is to get the distance learning program up and running. This was one of the reasons I came out here to Pittsburgh back in 2012. The very first year, it was mostly testing to see what was going to work, and I was observing the professors in action. The year after that, we recorded, I think it was 5 classes. Mm-hmm. The year after that, we had 15, and the year after that, we were up to 45. And we're somewhere over that now. I haven't actually gone through and counted in quite a while. But we've the program has grown. But the question that I want to ask today, given that I've invested a lot of time and energy into building this program, is distance education a viable option for seminary students? Is it okay for students to learn remotely without being in a physical location of learning for their seminary education, knowing full well that those individuals will go fill pulpits someday and will be overseeing a flock? So that's the question I want to throw out there. I've got a few ideas, but I'd love to hear what you guys have to think about it.
Well, and the reason to even raise the question would be that historically you've gone and spent 3 or 4 years at a seminary where you can be directly influenced by men that the church has set aside to influence you and train you theologically and in ministry to serve the church. And so to in a sense, remove that personal, direct personal influence from the students. Some have balked at that. And so it is important to, why is the seminary going in this direction, and is it a healthy direction to be going? Before we even get a little further, Aaron, I know when you were doing this, you looked at a lot of other seminaries, and especially as you think about the Reformed seminaries that you were looking at, would you say that all of them have distance learning programs, or is there some still holding out and saying we're just not going to do it that way, or is it pretty much now to the point where almost everybody's got distance learning in one form or another?
I would say most had some form of a distance learning program. That might have been a handful of classes. That might be entire degrees. Just as a note, RPTS does not offer a full MDiv online. Currently, the board has approved only 1 year to be conducted online, and the other 2 years have to be done on site. They're exploring expanding that a little bit, perhaps, but at this point, that decision has not been. Made to expand the program in any way.
Well, actually, it does allow a second year, but there are more stringent requirements. So particularly, there has to be approval by the overseeing body of the student. So there is that allowance for second year, but you're right that we don't allow the whole 3 years.
There have been a few exceptions. I wasn't sure I wanted to put that on record and make sure have people be clamoring and asking for that. But hey, you're in charge, man. So I'll let you go down that road.
They're asking anyway. So
yeah, exactly. But there are a couple exceptions. I know Westminster Seminary, California, has outright rejected the idea of distance learning. Westminster, Philly, has dabbled a little bit. I've heard murmurings that they may be expanding that in the very near future. There may be a few others that don't do any at all, but by and large, most Reformed seminaries that I'd looked into had some distance learning of some form, be that a few classes or an entire program.
Well, that's interesting to know. And to go back to your question, I think that it's overall a very healthy thing. And one of the things that I've observed and just being involved in it, coming in as you were beginning to institute this at RPTS and just starting to see some of the impact of it all. As a matter of fact, I think I just saw today a statistic. I mean, over a quarter of our class credits now are distance learning students. So it is a growing program for us. But one of the things that I really see as its benefit is that it's connecting the seminary to the church. to local congregations of people in ways that historically we haven't. I think part of what's happened in the church is that seminaries get instituted, often grounded biblically, but then they begin to become unfaithful over time. They become ivory towers. There's a lot of power vested there, quote, important people, lots of money and resources going there. They're not directly accountable to the church, and so they begin to apostatize, and then they begin to train a new generation of men and liberal theology or other forms of deviant belief, and then that ends up going back into churches and really becomes cancerous to the church. The thing I've really appreciated about the distance learning is now, you know, the students are learning these things, and then they can go and talk right with their pastors that they're under about them, and so the pastor's eyes and ears are more on what's going on in the seminary, and to me it just has created a greater sense of connectivity to the church. And that's not just in our denomination, it's outside our denomination. You know, I've learned about different men in different church settings than just our own denomination.
Yeah, one thing that I've observed and is that the general age of a seminary student is going up, and that's in our seminary. That's globally. Those are the you know, ATS, Association of Theological Schools, the accrediting body that looks over a lot of seminaries. Their statistics are showing that the age of seminary students is increasing. Very few students are straight out of undergrad, you know, single, going off to seminary. A lot of guys are married, handful of kids, have a mortgage, have a good job, feeling called to the ministry later in life. So this idea of going off to seminary is a very different burden that someone in that stage of life would bear than, you know, a single student straight out of undergrad. So so uprooting someone from their local congregation, moving their family across the country, simply to go through the educational process of seminary always struck me as a challenge that I would like to kind of take on and find ways to be able to leave these guys in their local congregations at least longer, and maybe even, you know, if we get to the point where full degrees are being done, where they don't ever leave their congregation except for maybe a few weeks or a few months at a time in order to complete their program, so that they can stay where their roots are and still receive their education. I mean, my PhD program, it's that I'm working on in education, it's a blended program where I do most of my work in the fall and the spring at home in my own office here in Pittsburgh. That every summer I fly to Lubbock, Texas for intensive coursework with my classmates. I've gotten to know them online. We meet up at conferences interact with my professors very regularly, but I'm doing most of it at a distance because there is no possible way I would uproot my family and move to Texas just to complete my PhD right now. So I love the flexibility where I get the on-campus experience to a certain extent, but I still have the flexibility to do these things on my own time in my own location and not have to be uprooted from my life in order just to pursue an educational pursuit.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's definitely allowed a great degree of flexibility for students to take a variety of approaches to completing their seminary education. When we first started talking about letting students take up to a year, we were really thinking of that on the, you know, the front porch, that they would come, or that they might stay where they are, take a year of classes, and then come and complete their degree. Now we're finding out, didn't even think about this, but some of the students who came right at the beginning and did 2 years at RPTS. I think of one student in particular who was getting ready to go overseas. He had a sponsoring congregation. He went there for the last year of his training, took classes there online, but then was able to be trained by those he would actually be partnering with to do church planting in this other country. And so that was effective for him. So it allows a lot of flexibility for the students. And it's created such a landscape that we are almost always being asked for some special, you know, can I do it this way? Can I do it that way? And sometimes it's hard to manage. That would be one of the struggles with it. Another thing that I think is a little bit of a a danger that we have to help students with and to think through as a seminary community, is that there is a real healthiness in coming into a setting like the seminary and being around a lot of people who believe some things differently than you do, meeting people across denominational lines, meeting even within the denomination, meeting people from different parts of the church. There's a real healthiness to all of that that I think gets missed if everything's done at a distance or,
yeah,
or online. So I'm thankful. I like where we are right now. I'm really comfortable with it as we are, despite some of the challenges. I'm, because of my view of how you, and the idea that particularly training men for the pastorate is different than just getting a education in a different field, I would be very hesitant to go to a full orbed online program, at least at this point.
Yeah, I still believe that the best education is done face-to-face. Even though, yes, I'm the distance learning guy, the best education is done face-to-face.
Right.
The problem, though, is that's not always a feasible reality for a lot of people, and having other flexible models can help us be able to do that. So, Barry, I think, personally, I think some of the best programs are this blended model where you have an online component and you have a residential component.
Yeah.
The challenge that a lot of institutions run into at that point is school calendaring. You know, do they have to come for a semester? Can that residency component be done during a summer term? That's how my program that I'm in is done, is I do it all. The residency component is done in the summer. So you still get the face-to-face bit. You still get the on-campus experience, but it's compressed in a time that's, you know, not traditionally an educational term. But so thinking differently about how to leverage the technology to blur the in-class and the out-of-class experience, and then how to use the calendar to our advantage rather than fighting against it to accommodate the people who need that kind of accommodation. Those are some of the questions I think that are still being wrestled with by a lot of institutions on, you know, how do we do that and still maintain our identity as the institution that we've been for, you know, over 200 years in the case of RPTS.
Right. What say you, Kyle?
You guys stole virtually everything I wanted to say, so I'm probably just going to be an echo, but I really appreciated what Aaron said about distance education, you know, helping to remove some what I think are sometimes some unnecessary burdens or obstacles. You know, I took a little bit of time off in between my undergraduate and starting seminary, but I got married when I was getting my undergraduate degree. We had our first child before I had actually graduated college. By the time I got to seminary, you know, I found myself, and I did not go to RPTS. I went to a different seminary.
We forgive you.
I appreciate that. So I'm sure I've been reminded that if ever I get into debates on the floor of Synod, I have some friends that will remind me that I did not go to the superior seminary.
I'm
very thankful for my seminary education. But
hey, at least I dropped out of the superior seminary.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, come on.
You went to a very good place, Kyle.
I did. I really appreciate that. So,
Puritan.
You know, but there were some challenges, you know, just even for me, and I hadn't been in the workforce for 10 or 12 years, but, you know, trying to raise three children while maintaining a full-time job and doing seminary classes on the class schedule. Yes. I remember the number of times that I just wished I could set my own schedule so that I could go to work during first shift and you know, but trying to juggle all of that, and the Lord, yeah, opened some doors and provided for our family in wonderful ways, but I'm very aware that that's not the case with everybody, and I'm very sympathetic to those students. So I think distant ed, you know, allows you to do that. But Barry, I also really appreciated what you said, that, you know, if a student is doing distant ed and primarily everything else is done within the context of his local church and with his pastor, I really appreciate that. But at the same time, no denomination, and even the RPCNA, you know, we're not monolithic. We approach the ministry from different angles. We emphasize, mm-hmm, different things. There's a different culture in the different churches that you go to. Right. And I wonder sometimes, could it be misleading if a young man spends most of his time learning just under his pastor and, you know, reflecting on his classes with his pastor, suddenly he gets out there and has to go take a call, and he starts to scratch his head and go, oh, not every church is like the one that I've, you know, kind of come up under. And so I think seminary provides a very unique atmosphere to be introduced to these different opinions. But I think at the end of the day, I think the questions of how best to train men for the ministry, I think is a very difficult question. And what that best method is, I'm still not, please nobody, oh boy, I'm going to get myself in trouble. I'm still not convinced the seminary, the way many people do classroom seminary, I'm still not convinced that that is the very, very best method to train and equip men for the ministry. Now, don't ask me what I'd do better. I'm not offering an alternative because I don't have one. But I think it's a very difficult question. What is the best method to do this?
Right.
And I think distant ed has opened a door for a very useful method.
Yes, yes. So, well, I know one of the things...
But you're going to be the president of the seminary, so don't hold that against me.
No, I don't. I think there are different models, and not one way is the way. I know one of the things really on my heart is that you want the deep theological grounding and men to know the truths, but there's also the very, you know, I'm a professor of practical theology. There's also the very practical things men need to learn how to do. It's one thing to know the theology that goes behind a sermon. It's another thing to just preach. It's one thing to know you're supposed to be discipling or doing evangelism or running session meetings. But it's a whole nother thing to actually go and do those things, counseling. So how to make the training not only knowledge-based, but directing patterns and skills and actual ministry is a challenge, in a, particularly in just a seminary setting. And that's why, again, I think cooperation with local churches and ministries is really important.
Yeah, Barry, you know, back when you all introduced me a few episodes ago, I was telling you about the work that I've done in education with this flipped classroom concept, where we're delivering the basic information outside the classroom space, and then we're engaging in some of that higher order thinking, some of those more challenging cognitive tasks, the application and analysis portion when we're in class. I think the same can be applied to a distance learning setting, and it hits what you were just talking about, where, you know, students can learn the content, they can learn the material out on their own. I mean, there's so much information out there, you know, online and in books and libraries. Anybody can get a great education and have, you know, can access the information. But what you're talking about is this relational aspect of learning, the pastoral aspect that has to be learned in a face-to-face. And you've both hinted on this idea that we should, the student should have a broad exposure to what that looks like in a variety of settings. That's something that could be reserved for that face-to-face time, for that in-house, the on-campus component. The on-campus component, I don't think, has to be restricted to traditional classroom instruction.
Yeah.
Right. Kyle, what you were saying, but you could, again, this goes back to tweaking the calendar, tweaking what we think of as the school schedule, is how are we going to take the students who have been remote and maximize the face-to-face time we have with them in the short time that they are on campus? It's not going to be for new information, new knowledge. It's going to be application. It's going to be mentorship. It's going to be discipleship. It's going to be hands-on. And like, here's where the rubber meets the road when you're a pastor.
Yeah. Right. And I think, you know, with that then is a huge encouragement to seminaries that, you know, if we're going to have a relational pastoral emphasis, you know, the encouragement is then you need to deliver, you know, if men are going to uproot their lives and move. And I have all confidence that RPTS does. I've been nothing but impressed. And I'm very thankful for our seminary, but
yeah, I think those are really, really key points. And one of my friends likes to say that theology is done best in community. And you know, the content is one thing. I know a lot of young men who are gifted and very knowledgeable of theology, but they're just a train wreck when it comes to, you know, doing pastoral work in the church. And part of that has to do with the fact that they need to be developed in their hearts and their ability to work with people and their relationships with people. And so hopefully the seminary, in conjunction with the training of through internships with pastors and ongoing education can help the pastoral candidates achieve that. One of the models that does this on site for a time, but a lot of content outside would be, the Doctor of Ministry programs that a lot of seminaries, including our own, have. I've been participating in that. I spend most of my time reading and studying and writing in my home or my study here. But then that week that I spend on campus when I went to a class was really invaluable. I mean, I learned so much. We were able to discuss the ideas that we had read. We were able to be guided by a man in that field that was more knowledgeable than we were. And so it was just a very rich, and I was able to take that back and apply it immediately into my different ministry contexts. So that's the DMEN program is a model of at least the ongoing education of the church, having that flexibility built in.
Well, great. I think that's probably all the time we're going to have to discuss this, but a lot of good stuff there on just the role of seminary and the function that distance learning and other new technologies can play in facilitating that, as well as the importance of relationships in that process.
This episode of 3GT is sponsored by the Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary. RPTS is the fifth oldest seminary in the United States, and in its over 200 years of existence has maintained a theological fidelity to the Word of God. Housed in the historic Horn Mansion on the east end of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, RPTS is in a beautiful setting that invites you to come and study the great truths of the Scriptures. Though we're an old institution, we're not a static one. Our motto is study under pastors, and we have been busy developing programs and courses that will help prepare men and women for a life of service in God's kingdom in the 21st century. As I travel about the church and talk to people about theological education, many people wonder about it. I have young men ask me, how do I know if I'm being called into the ministry, or wondering if they could handle classwork at the seminary level. Young ladies often wonder if it would be good for them to get some theological education so that they could serve the church and Christ's kingdom more efficiently. And to them, I often say what I'm going to say to you now. Why not take a glimpse into RPTS? For we now offer many of our classes online in our distance learning program. And I have a special offer for you this time. If you would like to audit one of our classes just to see what it would be like to study at RPTS, you can do that for a total price of only $99. Yes, just $99 to audit one of our courses. If you'd be interested in doing that, all you have to do is send an email to apply@rpts.edu, that's APPLY at rpts.edu, and mention that you heard about this on 3GT. If you'd like to find out more about the seminary, you can go to our website at rpts.edu.